Little Chloe's Bible school teacher asked her to list the Ten Commandments in any order that she wanted to. So she said, very quickly, 6, 3, 5, 4, 8, 2, 10, 1. She knew the answer. It's sad, I think, because some Catholics stay at a very low childhood level of faith. And I see it, and I hear it, because of questions I'm asked. But especially, I think, when it comes around and it revolves around one's concept of law and how that affects one's understanding of God. Let me explain. Our initial understanding of law, like so many of our concepts, it's not God-given, but it's largely the product of a human rather than a divine agent. We may refer to Moses as the lawgiver, but our idea of law is not derived from Moses, but rather from our parents and from society. That's where we get it. Our acquisition of language gives us words, and then we gradually are taught what the words mean through examples and instances which those words refer to. And through this process, the concepts that eventually create our understanding are formed. So, our concept of law was not a difficult one, a concept to form, because we were supplied with many instances of law by our parents right away, who for the sake of order, established laws to govern our behavior in the home. And if we broke those laws, we were punished for our disobedience or our disruption of the order they attempted to impose. And even if we were not punished in a traditional sense, we knew of their disapproval by the affection, by the way that their affection for us changed. So the look, did you ever get the look? Yeah, I got the look. That wasn't a good thing to do, Richard. But anyhow, as we grew older, we experienced civil laws. And these govern the world beyond the home and the family. And so, too, are established for the sake of order. And violations are resulted in disapproval and punishment. There were even police and judges whose jobs was to enforce the law and to punish violators of the law. When we went to school, we learned that there were physical laws that governed the universe. According to the testimony of esteemed scientists such as Isaac Newton, and violators of this law, it seemed, would be punished by nature itself. Therefore, it's easy for us to develop the idea that all laws were created for the sake of order, and punishment was the consequence of disobedience. Therefore, it's not hard to imagine that God, too, must have a law that he wishes to impose on all people. In fact, God's law must be the greatest of the laws, and therefore, there must be the greatest punishments that are attached to it. And so we read the Bible, and sure enough, we find the law. It's called the Torah. And we suppose that it, too, must be for the sake of order and obedience. Enter Jesus. Jesus, however, tells us that God is our Father who awaits the prodigal's return of his son with open arms. He tells us that God is preparing a banquet for us to which everyone is invited. And the ones who do not attend are those who imagine that they have better places to be. According to Jesus, the sovereign of the universe, God, is not a lawgiver to whose dictates we must conform or suffer the consequences. But this lawgiver is a loving, approachable Father. For Jesus, you first must understand and experience God as love, because that's foundational to all laws. God is a person, not a law. In our reading today, and I didn't do the long one, you can go home and do the long reading, but if you go through the Gospels as well, Jesus presents God and the law in a new light, offering a corrective to misunderstandings and applications of the first covenant of law, which we find in the Old Testament that was given to us, we know, by Moses. And if we come to understand, as Jesus had, that we are God's beloved, we are God's children, sons and daughters, God is our Father, then we should also come to understand that God's laws are not about crime and punishment. They're not. We should learn from Jesus that the law is not for the sake of order, such as we find in human law, but rather God's laws are intended to guide us, as I told the children. They are to direct us into a formative, transformative journey whereby we are made ever more in the likeness of Christ. That's what they're there for, to make us ever more in the likeness of Christ. And with the understanding that Jesus offers, God's law is different than what our parents taught us, what the police, and what and Isaac Newton. It's not given to meet order within God. Nor is God's law some moral standard that God insists on and is offended when those are violated. And I'll talk just a second about being offended, as if you could offend God. Who the hell do you think you are? You can offend God. But we'll get to that. The intention of the law is to aid us in our quest for a right relationship with God and a transformation that comes about through relationship. That's how we are transformed, through our relationship with God. God's law is meant as a blessing that's supposed to guide us to the fullness of life. That's what it's for. And let me get to, therefore, I wish I could go on, this really needs a class here, but sin is not breaking a law. Sin is a rupture in the relationship. It's a breaking in the relationship with God. That's sin. And most of our sins are not against God to begin with. They're against God's images and likenesses, which is our brothers and sisters. That's where we get most of the sins are committed. And so sins are disruptions in relationships, not a breaking of a law, as we've been taught perhaps. And besides, you can't offend God. God does have no needs. If God has needs, then God isn't God. Let's face it. If God's got need for me to behave in a certain way, he's got a problem. You know what I mean? If he has to have me obey him and he's going to be offended, he needs some psychological help. I mean, come on, I know people who have reached higher things that, you know, their ego isn't coming in there anymore. He doesn't have an ego. So what is this? I offend God with my thoughts and my words and my deeds. I grew up, had the same stuff that I was offending God, as if God is offended. No, God has no needs or requirements, therefore cannot be offended. But that's for another day, perhaps. Does God really depend upon you? Does his happiness depend upon you? Does anybody's happiness depend upon you? Anyhow, let's get back to the law. If the law is understood as a blessing that is set forth by a loving Father to guide us toward him, away from destruction, you get a very different picture of God, don't you? If we understand that God's intention is always to bless us, we can understand God's moral law as really a set of promises to us. That is, God promises if we walk with God in God's presence, loving God and loving neighbor, then we will not murder, we will not steal or commit adultery or covet anybody or anything. We will always seek to do what's right and most loving. In fact, we'll exceed the commandments and the laws. So if you're still at the stage of seeing God as the great lawgiver, that's okay for a child, but you need to grow up. For Jesus, the motivation for all of morality and all of religion is the imitation of God, who is love. That's what it was all about. That's what religion is supposed to lead us to. And so, in the end, our faith journey, like the Bible, often involves falling, rising up, falling, rising up. Sin, forgiveness. Of course, God loves us even when we fall. And God loves us even when our ill-conceived notions of his identity are, you know, we got them wrong. We all begin with the wrong understanding of God. But God loves us just as much in the early stages of our faith growth as he does at the end of it, at the later stages. The love is the same. It never changes. The fullness of life, as we experience it, only comes with Jesus' revelation that God is our Father and that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Now, without that understanding, human life will always be less than what God intends it to be. It will be, people will be in fear of God and fear of breaking rules and laws and being condemned to hell and all the rest of it. So, the understanding of God as loving Father, as taught by Jesus, allows us to know the fullness of life that God has for us. It frees us. And that's what Jesus was all about, to free us, to liberate us from the oppression of law. You can see that. The Jews were oppressed by all the laws and rules and regulations, and Jesus came to liberate them. To know this ultimate reality, we need to live in an awareness of the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You know, in the end, there's only really one commandment, isn't there? It's in two parts. Love God, love neighbor as self. That's all you have to do.